Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I wasn't there, but our next guest was. He's been covering horse racing forever. He did it for us here at CBS Sports Radio for a while. He does it now for VSIN on SiriusXM's Vegas channel. Our buddy Ron Flatter checks in from Baltimore. Did you stay dry today, Flatman?
Yeah, no, there was no rain. So, yeah, everybody did. Yesterday was another matter, but I wasn't here yet. I flew in on a red eye from Vegas, and it was the in fact, the flight was the BO Express, either Bath's option or body odor, whichever one you want to call it. But, live to tell about it. And so, yeah, stumbled in here shortly after 9 o'clock this morning and have been here ever since. And no Triple Crown. No Triple Crown.
And that's okay. We had one just within the past 2 years, so we can wait a little bit. Shoot, we waited decades for it, so we can wait a couple more years before we see it again. And I didn't really think Always Dreaming was a Triple Crown horse, but I did think he was the horse to beat today, and no one decided to challenge him on the front end other than the horse that we thought would give him the hardest time, which is Classic Empire, and those two went mano a mano. And Always Dreaming stopped pretty badly when they got into the far turn. Were you surprised that I thought he could be beat today? I thought he could get caught at the wire. I didn't think he was going to give it up the way he did. Were you surprised that he did?
Yeah, I mean, I thought as the race developed, as I'm watching the fractions, they weren't blazing, but they were certainly handy. 23 flat, 46 and 4, and 111 flat. But for horses that came in off of only 2 weeks rest, yeah, I suppose then it was a bit of a suicide pace in that sense. And when I was watching it, I thought, well, somebody's going to come and pick up the pieces. And I had actually wheeled all in a box in the Exacta with Always Dreaming and Classic Empire. So I thought, well, one of these bombers is going to hit the board. It's going to help me out a little bit here. And sure enough, it was the horse that was being talked about and I liked a lot among the new shooters, just that new shooters never win. Oops. In this race. This is only the fourth time in the last 34 years that it's happened. But Cloud Computing is just a big, beautiful horse. And he came along at the right time under Javier Castellano and Chad Brown, the reigning Eclipse Award winners as jockey and trainer. And they picked up the pieces quite nicely. So, but as far as Always Dreaming, it was almost like an old friend of mine used to say in horse racing that if the pace is too hot, that the leader is going to take a shovel to the face like in a cartoon. And that's pretty much what Always Dreaming had happen. And isn't this a coincidence, or is it something that we can say about Todd Fletcher? He's brought two Derby horses to the Preakness, Super Saver 7 years ago, and Always Dreaming now, and they both finished eighth.
Really? I didn't know that they had bought. I knew neither one of them won, but I didn't know it was an eighth and an eighth. And yes, he did stop like he was hit by a shovel, but a superior effort by Classic Empire, because he sat right off the pace and the Stalker's Trip seemed to work real well for him. I actually thought he was home, and I thought he was clear mid-stretch, but Cloud Computing did run him down and gets up by, did they call it a head or a neck? All right, they called it a head. It was pretty damn close. It took a superior effort for him to be beat today. Do you think they wheel him back in the Belmont, or do you think that we will be looking at a whole different type of field other than the winner here at the Preakness? I got to believe Cloud Computing's going to go on, but I think we are looking at other horses. Do you think they push Always Dreaming or Classic Empire to try and make it two out of three?
I don't know about Always Dreaming. I haven't been able waiting to see Todd Fletcher quotes. I was paying attention more to the winner in this particular case. And in the case of the winner, Cloud Computing, Chad Brown sounds about 50-50. And this is a guy who's based in New York. Todd Fletcher, again, a guy who's based half the year in New York. You'd think, okay, maybe he brings back Always Dreaming. But now I'm going to kind of wonder, because he's never been a guy to even want to come to the Preakness because of the short gap. He likes to take Kentucky Derby horses of his and use the whole 5 weeks to train for the Belmont. So in that sense, maybe not. Maybe we don't, you know, we may not see either of them. And as far as Classic Empire is concerned, I think, well, maybe the same sort of a situation there. I do know that Mark Cassie wanted another shot at Always Dreaming. Well, he took care of him today, but obviously didn't get the big prize. Kind of reminds me of when Hardspun, remember him back in 07? I mean, he hit the board and came close a couple times in the Triple Crown races and just couldn't get it done. So a similar situation there as we have now 10 years later.
Were you surprised, like me, that Conquest more money? And I'm on the air, so I couldn't break it down, and I was watching, but I wasn't watching the far outside. I don't know if he missed the jump or whatever. I thought for sure he was going to try and hook the favorite, and they. I thought they would get caught up in a speed duel rather than Classic Empire and Always Dreamin'. He sat in on a stalker's trip the entire way and never really made a move. Why did I believe that Conquest Mo Money was going to be the one who would set the early pace? Were there anything that you can think of reasons why that horse might have not come out of the gate as strongly as I thought he was going to?
Well, that's what we all are wondering, because that's just how he rolls. He's a front runner, and everybody expected him to go to the lead. When the trainer, the first-time Preakness trainer Miguel Hernandez, was asked about that, he was very coy, and he did say, look, we could settle off the lead. You just don't know what we're going to do, and I'm going to leave it up to my jockey. Well, that's a first-time Preakness rider, Jorge Carreño. So to be determined what was going on there, whether it was their strategy or just whether he was caught wide, as I was watching them come by the finish line for the first time, it looked like Conquest Mo Money was caught wide. But as I look at the notes and I've watched the replay, it didn't look like he had a bad start. It may have just been that's how they decided to run the race, and they got caught four wide. He was never better than fifth at any call of the race. But I think that broke down everything, and all of a sudden that left Always Dreaming and Classic Empire to engage in a speed duel. And for two horses that were only off of 2 weeks' break, I suspect that was what really cost them both the race.
Flatman, when we try and handicap these races ahead of time, we look for angles, we look for trends, we look for things that have happened before and try and apply them to the field that we're looking at. And then the race is run and we have our results, and we now go back and look and say, what kind of trend is this set? How could we have figured this out better if you didn't have cloud computing today? The only real way that I come up with this horse, because he is, prior to today, actually eligible for nine winners of one other than allowance. His only victory was his maiden, and he ran competitively in both the Gotham and the Wood, but didn't win either of those two races. I'm starting to believe that rest is the key, that when American Fire won the Triple Crown 2 years ago, she's just an unbelievable beast. And we found out today that Always Dreamin' isn't that type of a beast. The fact that Cloud Computing had as much rest after the Wood Memorial and then coming into this rest, coming into this race, that the way horses are bred and they're trained and handled these days, if you don't have 4 or 5 weeks of rest in between, then you aren't able to fire your best bullets.
The owner of Cloud Computing did suggest, well, in fact, he out and out said that he has no regrets about not taking Cloud Computing to the Derby, because he was on the border of maybe having enough points if the scratches worked out just right, or if Practical Joke had been scratched, he could have slid into that spot in terms of just the domino effect of moving up on that on the points rankings. But he said he had no regrets, because he said, if we'd have gone to the Kentucky Derby, we probably wouldn't be in the position we're in right now, having won the race. So that goes right on point to what you just said. The other part of this, too, is Cloud Computing was an injured two-year-old, and for that reason, he was a late bloomer. And the races you talked about, the Gotham and the Wood, he chased a very fast pace in the Gotham and came in a very handy second, and he broke very slowly in the Wood and came in a big third. He's a big horse. He is. He was sired by McLean's Music, and his mare is an AP Indy brood mare. And so some good breeding, particularly on the bottom side. And I think if you really want to look at it, the head by which he won might have been just the size of the horse down the stretch being bigger than Classic Empire when it counted, when there was just a razor's edge between them.
Cloud Computing is a big horse. One of the horses that we may see 3 weeks from now in New York is one of the horses that beat Cloud Computing in the Wood Memorial. If Todd Pletcher decides not to come back with Always Dreaming, I was a Battalion Runner fan way back in February. As a matter of fact, I thought he had a better chance to get to the Derby than Always Dreaming, and that proved to be wrong. But Battalion Runner did qualify for the Kentucky Derby and decided to pass, that they would wait for later. I think I had heard maybe pointing toward later fall races. I don't know quite why, because I hadn't heard anything about an injury. Another big horse, and with breeding that says it should be able to get a distance. will it get tempting for Todd Pletcher with the fact that Cloud Computing comes back, beats his horse, a horse that he had beaten with Battalion Runner in the Wood Memorial?
I suspect that the decision there may go a long way toward determining if Cloud Computing will come back for the Belmont, because Chad Brown did say, we want to see who else is in. I'm not sure this is a mile and a half horse. I took that to be a backhanded slap at the three-year-old class to say that maybe no one is a mile and a half horse, and that if the Battalion Runner or others that might be out there don't come into the Belmont Stakes, he might just say, why not? It may be a really slowly run Belmont Stakes, but somebody will have to win it. So I think there will be a little bit of jockeying to see who's going to end up going to the entry box at Belmont Park in 3 weeks' time. So, but Battalion Runner certainly seems like, as you fleshed it out there, I haven't actually been able to give it a whole lot of thought, and the people from here at NYRA didn't actually, unusually so, didn't name a list of probable horses. They usually hand that out on Preakness Day, but that did not happen this year. So they were the only thing we saw was a congratulations to Cloud Computing from the NYRA boss, Chris Kay, in an email, and then we'll just kind of wait and see. So it's a little more of a mystery this time around, and I think, again, that speaks to the three-year-old class, if I dare to advance this thought really far, that the three-year-old class just isn't up to, maybe just not up, never mind not up to speed, maybe not up to distance.
It's speed or distance, as a matter of fact. Remind me again, Flatten, and I should know this, and I don't, shame on me for that. Maximum field of 14 in the Belmont, and they go by graded stakes earnings. They don't have the same point system that the Derby has. Theirs is a little bit different than everybody else, but they do have a system in place. Could we see a really crowded field because there are those like Chad Brown out there that say, hey, it isn't that great, a three-year-old, so let me throw mine in, who maybe is coming off an allowance win, an impressive allowance win with a pretty big buyer. I'll take my shot at the Belmont Stakes.
Yeah, by the way, the maximum is 16. The Belmont Stakes, especially in years where you don't have a live Triple Crown chance, I've often joked, they call it the test of the champion. It's often the test of the N1X, which is the designation you see in past performances for horses that have not won, other than their maiden race, or non-winners of more than one race.
Like Cloud Computing today.
Like Cloud Computing today. We've seen this in past years, and it's sort of a nudge-nudge, wink-wink joke, but that could very well happen. I don't know that we'll get 16. That's only happened, I think, once. In fact, when they do that, they actually, you know how they have the auxiliary gate after 14 at the Kentucky Derby? They actually have the auxiliary gate after posts 1 and 2 because they put most of that first gate on the turf track, and then they put the other 14 spots outside that on the dirt track at Belmont Park. That's happened once. So 16, I don't know that we'll get 16. I don't know if you can find 16 horses that can go a mile and a half. There are other prizes down the line that aren't as testing. So, look, if Cloud Computing jumps in, I don't know if the field will be that thick. If Cloud Computing lays out, then I think your theory holds, and it may not be a very flashy Belmont field in terms of quality, but as we're talking about it here, it might be there in terms of quantity.
Quantity, and then a competitive race, and maybe a good betting race well, which is what punters like you and I like to see. Mr. Flatter, as always, a pleasure. Thank you very much. Hopefully you don't spend all your winnings tonight. Save a tip for the Uber driver on the way home.
No, I actually rented a car for a change here because, I was on the BO Express. So I had to get from here from that somehow.
Flatman, thanks. Appreciate it.
All right, Jody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.